Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back. Guaranteed. Also on Instagram, IGJHood, as we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank Studios. We'll hear from Jim Brandstatter coming up at 9:15, his thoughts about Michigan as well as the Lions in the NFC North. We'll break that down with them. I saw Seth Walder's piece on ESPN.com, college football playoff predictor, Michigan in the top four. Really? Am I supposed to fall for the okey-doke again? We'll talk to Jim about that coming up in a few moments here on ESPN 1000. Also, we'll review the Cubs' win as they get the job done against the Miami Marlins. Also, the White Sox. Oh, boy. Fireworks at guaranteed rate. Not just the home runs, but Tim Anderson in a little bit of an issue with the Kansas City Royals. The Sox win the series against the Royals. They win 4-3 in 10 innings, but there's a lot more that happened in guaranteed rate. We'll review that coming up at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN. I hope that you're enjoying your Wednesday night. As we keep you company until 10 o'clock, then we hand it over to Dan Levitard and Stu Gatz here on ESPN 1000. All the schedules out for the Bears. And for those of you listening to me for the first time, here's what I always do. When the schedule comes out, I'll get the old pen out and I'll put W and L, win, loss. First blush when you look at the schedule that came out at 7 o'clock tonight. Of course, I have room to change it when we get to Bourbon A and room to change it when the preseason is over. So I always got three times to take a look at it before I give you my official thoughts on the Bears season. So looking at the schedule, taking on the Packers on Thursday. And again, that is going to be Thursday, September 5th on NBC. I have that as a loss. I have the Bears winning the next four against the Broncos on the road, the Redskins on the road against Minnesota at home, at the Raiders in London. There's a bye week. And then from there, they take on the Saints at Soldier Field. I had that as a loss. They take on the Chargers on October 27th. That'll be a win. They'll be at Philadelphia. That'll be a loss. November 10th against the Lions is a win. At the L.A. Rams is a loss. That's going to be on Sunday Night Football. They take on the Giants at Soldier Field on November 24th as a win. They'll beat the Lions on Thanksgiving on the 28th. Then December 5th, they'll be on Thursday Night Football against Dallas. I have that as a loss right now. That probably will change. We'll see. At the Packers on December 15th, they have that as a win. December 22nd against the Kansas City Chiefs, that is a Sunday night game. I have that as a loss at Soldier Field and a win against the Minnesota Vikings on the 29th. That equals 10-6. My thoughts about the Bears. Again, first blush with the pen. As soon as it came out, Felix handed me the schedule, and I started putting the pen right next to the games that the Bears are playing. And again, I have it 10-6 right now. 10-6 still gets them in the playoffs, no question about it. But I think that there's always a rock in the shoe in the schedule. You always look at it and you say, you know what, maybe they'll lose here. Maybe they'll upset this team here or there. But again, you never know. That's just my first blush looking at the schedule. Mina Kimes was on Under the Hood last night talking about Mitch Trubisky, how the improvements have to happen for Trubisky if the Bears want to move on.
He was the limiting factor for the Bears in the postseason. if they had an above, if they had gotten above average, not elite, not excellent, not great, above average quarterback play, you know, in that final game, they would be in the Super Bowl. I absolutely believe that. Honestly, the Rams are another example. If Jared Goff had been above average in that final game, I think they could have won, which shows sort of the limitations of the approach of building around the rookie quarterback, right? If he's not the right rookie. And we use rookie to talk about the contract. These are obviously not rookies. Trubisky needs to take another leap forward, I think. And look, he's still young. I don't think we can write the book on him yet. And he's shown flashes of very good quarterback play. We know he has the athleticism. He can make the throws, I think, and his decision-making has improved. But I do believe he needs to take another leap forward this season. Or if I was Chicago, I would absolutely think about moving on.
Mina Kimes from the Mina Kimes podcast. You can download that wherever you get it. As Mina does a great job breaking down the NFL. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Further on the NFL, okay, primetime schedules for each team in 2019. The Bears, the Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Kansas City, Rams, Vikings, Patriots, Eagles, Steelers, Seahawks all have five primetime games apiece. So the Bears are right up there with some of the teams that could vie for the championship this year with five primetime games. I see this piece from Bucky Brooks from NFL.com. Here's what Bucky says. Bucky is a frequent guest on this program, especially when it comes to the draft and just throughout the NFL season. Bucky from the NFL Network says, he talks about Mitch Trubisky and the offensive playmakers being Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, the offensive linemen of Bobby Massey and Charles Leno Jr. and Kyle Long, pass rushers like Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, defensive playmakers like Roquan Smith, Kyle Fuller, and Eddie Jackson. It's not a coincidence that the Bears surged to the top of the NFC North after acquiring Khalil Mack just before last season kicked off. The ultra-explosive sackmaster not only completed Ryan Pace's roster makeover, but number 52 gave the Bears that high-end difference maker needed to seriously contend for the Lombardi Trophy. Stout center Cody Whitehair also received consideration for one of the offensive lineman spots above. So he feels strongly about the Bears and their chances to get even to another level. Taking a look at ESPN.com, as far as over-unders are concerned, from Mike Clay, he was giving his projections for all 32 teams. If this is, I have not looked at some of the Vegas numbers with Bovada and anything else. But if the Bears over-under is 9.5, that is easy money. If it is 9.5, and I don't know. The Bears defense allowed a league low 27 touchdowns last season, and the unit was pretty good in 2017 as well, allowing only 28. In fact, the era adjusted 1.65 touchdowns allowed per game last season was the ninth best mark posted this past decade. This unit remains in outstanding shape despite off-season losses of Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. Quarterback remains a question as Mitch Trubisky has posted one of the league's seven worst off-target rates each of the first two seasons while posting the league's 11th worst interception rate in 2018. Again, if the Bears, I have them at 10-6 looking at the new schedule, everything will be predicated on how well the offense has improved from last year. Because a lot of the, you know, reading one quarterback and then running the next time that a wide receiver or a target is covered up, or you've got to be able to identify more than one receiver going down the field. So from my standpoint, there might be a little bit of a learning curve for Trubisky, but we got to see if the offense turns the corner here. It was good last year. Don't get me wrong. It was good. But when you look at prolific offenses, the Bears were not that last year. A lot of sleight of hand, a lot of nickel and diamond down the field, a lot of trick plays in order to be able to keep the offense alive. But at some point, Trubisky's got to be the reason. You went up in the draft to get him. You're paying him in his rookie contract. So let's see what happens here. If there's a little bit of a difference offensively for Trubisky. Also, in this Mike Clay piece from ESPN.com, as I mentioned, Bears 9.5, Packers they have at 9 over under. Interesting there. Mike Clay also says the Vikings at 9 over under and the Lions at 7, the over under there, from Mike Clay's piece from ESPN.com. Glad that you're with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. Pleased to be joined by the veteran voice for the Michigan Wolverines. It is Jim Brandstetter, and he is with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jim, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Jonathan, good to be with you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thank you. Were you in the house for the spring game for Michigan?
I was indeed, and we actually broadcast the spring game. Dan Dierdorf was in, and our John Jansen and our whole broadcast crew came out and watched. It was actually a spring scrimmage. I mean, Jim doesn't do spring games anymore. It was kind of like a practice, so... as Dan and I talked, he said it's kind of a 2.5-hour talk show.
Yeah, it is. And it gets just everybody ready for the season. I was in South Bend with the Irish, so I was seeing what was going on there. I just want to get your thoughts on the season, because it's never too early to read columns and anticipation for the college football season. So I'll ask you this. So based on what you – let's go back to last year. What stood out most about the season last year for the Wolverines?
Well, obviously they got blown out by Ohio State. I mean, Michigan plays a 5-game schedule, and no matter how anybody looks at it, you got to beat Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin. I mean, those are the 5 games that they get measured by. They should win all the other ones, so it's kind of hard. I mean, Michigan won 10 games a year ago, but they closed poorly, lost badly to Ohio State, lost badly to Florida. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and that's what people remember most. And going into this season, you got to erase that. And, there were some glaring weaknesses last year. Look, offensively, Michigan was kind of stale late in the year and looked like Ohio State and Florida were in their playbook. Well, give Jim Harbaugh credit, because he went out and changed things. He's, again, put your ego aside. What's the most important is what's going on with the team. He hired Josh Gattis. And now you're going to see an offense at Michigan that's a little bit more like Ohio State. It's going to be up-tempo. It's going to be no huddle. They're going to try to get guys like, Peoples Jones and Tariq Black and Ronnie Bell and all these great wide receivers who have great speed, get them more involved in the ball game. And to me, I think that's good. And I give Harbaugh big credit for going out there and finding that guy that's going to update his offense, which I think gives him a better shot to win. And win big. Plus, his schedule is more favorable this year, because they've got Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State all in Ann Arbor.
Brandy, I love the press will always give Jim Harbaugh the benefit of the doubt. Based on everything I've been reading here this offseason, they look at it and they say, okay, here's Harbaugh. He's bringing back 8 starters on offense. Shea Patterson with a little bit more seasoning, a guy that was tied for 8th in total QBR last season. I think a lot of people look at Michigan and say, boy, it'd be great to see Jim Harbaugh right there in that Final Four, because people believe he has the chops to do it. How do you see it?
Well, I think he does too. And let's not forget, 2 of the 4 years he's coached here, he's been a game away from the Final Four. It's not like he hasn't sniffed it, It's not like he hasn't been around it. And so I think that, and he's had great recruiting years, and I think, it's again, to get in that Final Four, you got to be good. Mm-hmm. You got to be lucky. You got to stay away from injuries, all of those things. And Jim just hasn't had that, everything fall in place. It really does. It's got to fall in place for you. I mean, everybody out there is in Alabama and Clemson, and I think those other 2 teams that get in there are those teams that have to have everything go right. And I think Jim is at the point now where a break here, a break there, a win over Ohio State, I think he gets a chance to go to that Final Four. But it's easy to talk about, Jonathan, that.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is doing it.
Absolutely. Jim Brandstetter, the veteran voice for the Michigan Wolverines with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jim is hard to read, Brandy, because when I covered him as a player, it seems like he was a different guy. Yes, he was intense, but it seems like there's a laser focus for him to get this right. I expect him to be in that job as long as he can to be able to get Michigan back to a status where he believes it belongs. Yeah. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. I mean, and you've seen it and read it. I mean, every time there's a pro job opening up, Harbaugh's name comes up. That's just, to me, that's smoke. Jim Harbaugh's going nowhere. He's going to be an Ann Arbor coach in Michigan, and he's going to get the job done. he's got his dream job. Why would he leave it? And so I think I'm with you on that. And now it just this comes down to a matter of, you know, and Jim knows it, just what you said. It's a matter of getting it done.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Lions coming up. As I look at this NFC North, and we talked about the Bears a lot because, again, the schedule came out with Mitch Trubisky and what the Bears were able to do last year. We continue to look at Detroit as a team that still needs to grow. I'll ask you about Matt Stafford because you've seen Matt Stafford a ton. Is there anything else that he can do himself and the offense can do to get better for Detroit?
Well, a running game will help them. And I think that the Kerryon Johnson last year really helped them, getting that bell cow back, getting that guy that can get you 112, 113, 15 yards. Take some of the pressure off Matthew Stafford in the passing game. There's no question that the most valuable offensive weapon the Lions still have is his right arm. But you got to have receivers. They didn't have a tight end last year. They let Ebron go to Indianapolis. Now, Ebron did not do well in his first years with Detroit, but in Indianapolis, he blossomed. And now it becomes that I draft a tight end. What other receivers do they have? Marvin Jones. I mean, it's just Matthew, if he gets that running game and an offensive line that can protect him, okay? This guy, to me, he's an elite quarterback. From a passing perspective, I mean, let's put it this way. If there were teams out there that really wanted quarterback, like, for instance, Denver a couple of years ago, or Minnesota when they got Cousins. If Stafford were available, do you think they wouldn't have taken him? He would have been coveted by every team that needed a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how good he is. I believe in Stafford, and he just needs that cast around him. Particularly, I think the offensive line has to do better. Pass protection, keeping him upright, and give him a running game. And I think Matthew Stafford will be okay.
Yeah, you could. Hey, how about that in the NFL? You could actually still run the football effectively between the tackles and use a running back, you know, out in the flat to be able to catch the football. You could still do little things. It's so funny how vertical football has become. But guess what? You still can use a little bread and butter every now and then.
Oh yeah. Hey, no matter. Hey, look. You look at New England. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean they have gone out there and they win games by running in touchdowns. And we saw it last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, Brady is Brady. He throws completions and he is the star of stars. But ultimately, that running game is there for him to get it. And it's about an offensive line and a running back and that ability to get those yards when they really, really need it. And you got to have a running game. I don't care what you are. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to have a, you know, 200 yards a game on the ground, but you got to have that threat. You got to force the defense into defending both the run and the pass. If you don't, then I think you got real issues.
Brandy, let me give you the first four for the Lions schedule. Okay, so we talk about this. So it's at Arizona. It's a win against the LA is it LA Chargers? Yeah, I was looking at the emblem here, LA Chargers.
Yep.
At Philadelphia against Kansas City into the bye. Tough.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for them. And I got to tell you, you know, you never know from one year to the next what's going to happen. And even suggesting you're going to win down in Arizona. I mean, last year they had a Monday night game against the Jets.
Right.
And the Jets had Sam Darnold starting.
That's right.
And everybody thought, this is the Detroit win, you know, hands down, put it in the bank, right?
Yeah.
Lions get blown out. So the NFL is a different animal, and I just think you got to play. I heard your thing that the over and under in the Lions' season wins is 7 games.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for them, because I think Bob Quinn and I think Coach Patricia are a little bit on the clock now. When Jim Caldwell left, he was 9-7 and barely missed a playoff spot in his last year. Patricia was the guy that came in. He's Quinn's guy. Quinn's had 3 or 4 drafts now under his belt. I think this year is really important for the Lions, and I think they need to not only scare the playoffs, but I think maybe get in, or there's going to be some natives that are going to be restless.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to grab you from. Oh, by the way, as I look at this Michigan schedule, you're right. It is favorable. Can we use the word favorable?
For this no, schedule? It is. You still got to go on the road to Penn State and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But they're not the same without McSorley and but Wisconsin's going to be good. You know, Wisconsin at Camp Randall's never easy. And so, you know, you're going to have to go through the schedule. But they've got their big rivalry games at home. And that, as opposed to last year, is really, really good.
I hear you and Deardorff on the broadcast on my Sirius XM.
Oh, great! I'm glad you're listening.
It's you guys are like two old friends. You guys are two friends doing the game.
That's what we are.
Yeah,
we played together. We came to Michigan. He was a year ahead of me, but we roomed together 1 year during spring ball. We you know followed each other's career. You know, from Monday Night Football for him, for me doing Lions in Michigan. So we're both kind of after our football days gone into broadcasting, and we just enjoy each other's company, and hopefully, as you said, that comes through in our broadcast.
Yep.
Part of the job is not only to be informative and accurate, it's also to be entertaining.
As always, Brandy, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you closer to the season start. I can't wait for college football.
Me either, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, all right, it is Jim Brandstatter, the veteran voice for the Michigan Wolverines, with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That schedule... I take a close look at it like, whoo, that's soft. But you know, you just never know. It's like me looking at the Bears schedule, all these other schedules. It looks appetizing. The reason why it looks appetizing is because you can't wait for the games to start. That's why. You look at it and you just, wow, can't wait for the season to start. College football didn't last long enough for me, but looking forward to late August for the season to start. We're keeping our eyes on the NBA playoffs as well here on the home of the NBA playoffs, ESPN 1000. There's playoff games happening, and I'm on the air. How'd that happen? We have three games, but I'm here. Thank goodness I got a show tonight. Milwaukee is going to take down Detroit again. It's 113-97, Milwaukee with the lead there. Utah's overwhelmed by Houston, 52-31 in the second quarter there. I mentioned last night briefly after I was doing my UIC baseball game. The reason why I wasn't here yesterday is doing UIC baseball over at Granderson. And, boy, what a great park. I want everybody to go. It's a great atmosphere, a fun atmosphere. But I was mentioning I was watching Portland and Oklahoma City. And, man, Dame Lillard is such a special, special player. And not enough people know about it because he doesn't frown and it is not a guy who's trying to bite your face off like Russell Westbrook. He doesn't have the step back and all of the beard and the Kardashian stuff in his past like James Harden. But Dame Lillard is such a special player. And as I did my NBA podcast with Bleck, and that's in the Under the Hood podcast archives as well, just look for our Love of the Pod NBA podcast. Chris and I are going back and forth making our predictions. I said that Portland's going to win the series. I'm just really impressed by Lillard and McCollum and that team. Now, the staying power for them getting to the NBA Finals is not very good because of how good Golden State is. But, man, that is a terrific, terrific player, Dame Lillard. This is a fun player to watch.
I know it seemed like a long time ago, but I've had experience being up 2-0 before. Like, I think my second year in the league, we won the first two games on the road. And we came home like, okay, we can get this third game. And we was feeling good about ourselves. So, obviously, I know that feeling. But after our past two experiences, I'm like, I'm happy about it, but I really don't care. You know, I know how quickly things can change. I know that a series doesn't start until you win a game on the road. And I also know how capable their team is. So we just got to maintain our focus.
Yeah, if you have not watched Dame Lillard, and again, yes, he plays in Portland, and I know there's complaints on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. It's too late, I can't watch him. As if you can't watch these games on demand, but whatever. Dame Lillard is special. Somebody else is special is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is special. And you know what? Kevin Durant was going back and forth with Pat Beverly. As my guy Kendall Gill and so many others in Chicago, like Mark Schanowski was on the program last week talking about, I want Derrick Rose to come back. I'd love to have the story of Derrick Rose. Nah. Derrick Rose coming back to Chicago. Coming back to what? Like, Darren can come back to Chicago when the team's right. Don't bring him back here to try to be some savior for this nonsense that's happened on the West Side. No, I want Pat Beverly. That's what I want in free agency. I want another Chicago guy. I want Pat Beverly. And so the battle between the Clippers and the Warriors have been very interesting. And Pat Beverly's that guy with the dirt underneath the fingernails. West Side dude's going to be like, you know what? I don't care who's on the floor. I'm trying to win, right? So Kevin Durant spoke to the media and talked to him, the media, about what's going on in this series and how he's being defended. It's a very high basketball IQ from Kevin Durant, but he just wants you to know who he is. He wants everybody to know who he is.
They're playing a gimmick defense, which has been working, top blocking everything on the perimeter. So guys not even looking at the three-point line. They're just forcing guys inside the three-point line. So for us, when I get the ball in my spots, you know, I got a pest, Patrick Beverly, who was up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I can, you know, I could probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that. But that's not really going to do nothing for us at with the outcome of the game, you know, because we got a nice flow. Everybody touching the rock, everybody shooting and scoring. So I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Yes, we know who you are, Kevin. It's so funny. Kevin, he just, what he's saying defensively is correct. And he's completely locked into this series talking about why it might have been a struggle for the Warriors, how they relinquished this, 31-point lead or whatever. I mean, it's horrible defense and allowing the Clippers to get back in the ballgame. But it's almost like him saying, y'all know who I am. It's almost like he was talking in a mirror. And like, wait, I'm Kevin Durant. Why am I letting this little dude get in my head? Because everybody gets in your head. That's why. Why is Pat Beverly in your head? Because it's easy. It's easy to rent space in Kevin Durant's head. That's why. Like, whether you are a Twitter egg or whether you are a dude from the West Side that's trying to guard you underneath your shorts, making sure that you don't get into your spot, he can rent space in your head. Anybody can. So it's almost like, yeah, y'all know I'm Kevin Durant. Well, do you know you're Kevin Durant? Do you know how special you are? Do you realize that all the ancillary nonsense, BS, doesn't matter as long as you're playing ball at a high level? No Boogie Cousins, so you should be getting touches, and you should be able to try to figure it out. I love his analysis and breakdown, but it was almost like instead of Nick Friedell and the rest of the media there, it was almost like, y'all know who I am, right? I'm Kevin Durant. That shouldn't bother you. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been saying all along. The nonsense, don't get me to swear here, the nonsense and the stuff that doesn't matter shouldn't count. It should just be about you trying to win another chip. Silliness. You are Kevin Durant, yes, and act like it, and not worry about officials. He's on the precipice of getting suspended if he has more technicals. Of course, Kevin Durant, just like the rest of the Warriors, never fouled anybody, and that starts with Steve Kerr, of course, because Steve Kerr never fouled anybody. So that is that's a major issue there. So we'll see how this series goes, but at least it's tied at one, and it's interesting between the Warriors and the Clippers. All right, Tim Anderson, my guy, Tim Anderson.
The Chicago White Sox, how about that?
Got into a kerfuffle with the Kansas City Royals. Also, the Cubs get the job done against the Miami Marlins. We address all that coming up next.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood.
I'm all in my bag, as hard as it gets.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood, or on Instagram, IGJ Hood. So some fireworks on the south side of Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field with the White Sox. I'll tell you about the Cubs, though, here. We'll get to the
Chicago White Sox. How about that?
In a moment. But the Cubs, they win against the Miami Marlins. The Cubs are now 8-9 on the season as they defeat the Marlins by a score of 6-0. A game that they're supposed to win, a series that they're supposed to win, 6-0, 4-0, 7-2. That's when you have a team that you know you can beat in the Marlins and you get better. The Cubs got better in this series. There won't be any controversy over this one because the Cubs, with Cole Hamels on the mound, 7-inning strong, 3 hits, and Brock and Webster finished it out. Home runs by Baez, his 6th of the season. And the Cubs just keep on rolling here into the Arizona series. So, again, people wondering about the Cubs' start, it was right for you to question, like, what's going on with this Cubs team? Why are they starting this way? Well, you always got to look at the schedule. There's always teams that you can beat, and the Cubs were able to get that done against the Marlins. So no shade there. Now they have to continue their good offense, solid pitching, and their momentum after this series against Miami. But what about
the Chicago White Sox. How about that?
The Chicago White Sox, they won 2 out of 3 against the Royals. They lost today by a score of 4-3. But what happened in the game today was interesting because Tim Anderson, friend of the program, had a home run and he flipped his bat. He spiked his bat after hitting that home run. It was a celebration of something he did well. And, of course, with the unwritten rules of baseball, for some, if you celebrate a little bit too much for the team's opposition's liking, you're going to get drilled. It's been a part of baseball forever. It used to be you get hit in the head or get hit in the shoulder. And now it's more you get hit in the backside. So Tim Anderson got hit in the backside because after he hits a home run, he goes back up to the plate and gets drilled by the starter for the Kansas City Royals. And so Keller, the starter for the Royals, thought, okay, you're just going to spin around and spike your bat. Okay, I got something for you.
Now he got clunked.
I was going to tell you with the bat flip.
And here come the benches. Fun in baseball is not allowed. We have to yell at each other because he flipped his bat because he hit a home run. Why don't you just get him out? That would be the idea, but that's not going to happen. So here comes everybody onto the field. Tim Anderson held back by Abreu. And off we go. Everybody's coming in from the dugouts. The benches have cleared. You figured something might happen. Brad Keller didn't like it. Maldonado's reaction on the bat flip suggested he didn't like it as well. Joe West said, you be quiet to somebody. Ned Yost is being called over. Good job by the umpires to break it up before it got really ugly. They're going to talk it over.
Well, somewhere in this sequence, Tim's going to wind up stealing second base. And eventually he's going to...
Now they're going to go at it again. The managers are screaming, Wilson for Kansas City, and now we're going to do it again.
Well, Abreu wants to make sure that Tim Anderson stays in the game. So he's got him pinned down by the stands over there. He doesn't want Tim to get involved in any of this stuff.
That's Vance Wilson in the Royals bullpen, who was John.
And Ricky is incensed.
Ricky's hot. I mean, we're going to find out what got said, but Ricky Renteria wants to get involved, and good for him. Joe West just threw somebody out. He threw Tim Anderson out of the game.
I don't know about that.
I mean, he just got hit by a pitch from the Royals starting pitcher. They're going to send Keller out of here. Why would Tim get thrown out?
Well, that's what.
What
Ricky,
do you do?
That's what Ricky wants to know.
You're going to stand there and take a projectile in the rear end and get thrown out of the game for it? That's insane. It's just wrong. You're getting thrown at. You're in danger. Of course you're going to be mad. That's ridiculous.
I'm not sure why Joe decided to insert himself in the Tim Anderson situation because Tim...
It all calmed down, Tim, and then he threw him out just to do it after everybody was calmed down. Come on.
Well, Tim was not the inciter here.
No.
Jose Abreu made sure that Tim was not going to incite anything. And now you take the huge weapon the Sox had, the base-stealing threat in a tie ball game, and you eject him.
That's what happened. So Tim Anderson gets hit in the ass, goes to first base, starts hearing from some of the Royals on the other side, points some of those guys out. Rick Renteria goes after Cal Eldred. Eldred, former Sox pitcher, by the way, but also part of the Kansas City Royals staff. And two things happen. Joe West, the umpire, throws out Tim Anderson and throws out Rick Renteria as well. But the only problem is, as Rick Renteria was going after some of the Royals because they kept chirping, there's Joe West holding on to the arm of Rick Renteria. How do you hold and spinning him around? What is that? No umpire should be touching any baseball player or manager. That's what Joe West did. And so he was wrong on two occasions. Not surprising. Here's Tim Anderson now with his thoughts on what happened this afternoon.
Well, I'm going to continue to be me, continue to play the game hard and how I know how to play it.
You've had a little history with them. Did you kind of sense that might be coming after what happened in opening day last year, and then you do that?
Nah, that don't bother me. That's for you guys to keep up with. I take it day by day, and like I said, I'm going to continue to be me and, keep being a spark to this ball club and keep helping us win games.
But how upset were you that they did that on purpose?
You say what now?
How upset were you that they did that on purpose, or seemingly did?
I get it. I just wanted to, let them know how I feel a little bit, too. So.
When you got hit, you were talking to Maldonado as you were kind of coming out of the box.
Yeah.
Did he say anything in particular?
I don't know. It was a heated moment. So, yeah. I was kind of blocking out everything.
Were you stunned that you were thrown out?
A little bit. I didn't kind of understand what happened. But I understood what was going on and why they threw both of us out.
You do have a little history with West, though. Do you think that played into it?
I don't know. I don't think about that, man. Like I said, I go day by day. And, the past is in the past, so we're moving forward.
Do you understand why now you were ejected?
No, I don't. But it's, part of the game, I guess.
Hey, Tim, did you throw your bat at your own dugout?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that kind of confusing? Why would you be offended by that?
I don't know, man. It's, it's different. It's different, I guess. But like I said, I'm going to continue to be me and keep having fun, man. Our fans, they pay their hard-earned money to come to the ballpark to, see a show. So why not give them one?
Here's Rick Renteria.
Everybody has that, those quote-unquote unwritten rules. Everybody has their own, I guess. Timmy wasn't showing them up or showing their pitcher up. He was looking into our dugout, getting the guys going. It looks worse than it is if we had been in the first base dugout and he had just turned into the first base dugout and said, hey, here we go, what would have been the big deal, obviously, they didn't take kindly to it. They took their retaliatory position. He took his base, but you go ahead and drill your guy. Well, then, okay, just leave it. You've already done your piece. You don't need a million guys out there, chirping at him as well. So that's quite frankly, that's the only thing I took offense to.
Thoughts there from Rick Renteria. Here's Ned Yost, manager for the Kansas City Royals.
What happened was Joe West was trying to get everybody back to the dugouts, right? So Joe said, to me, get your team back to the dugouts. So I said, all right. So I turned around to get my team back, and Rick started screaming and yelling at my guys, right? I'm like, hey, I respect, yeah, get back. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he was pretty upset. He wanted them back in the dugout, and I'm like, nobody's going to yell at my team, all right? But we got no issues, but I'm not going to allow anybody to yell at my team. Just give me a second, and I'll get them back. But that was it. There was nothing really going on between us.
He wasn't yelling at you, right?
He was yelling at the team, get back in the dugout. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen, So I'll take care of my own team.
Like that, you okay with what Brad did in that inning too?
What, a pitch got away from him?
That one, yeah.
So, as far as I know.
Anderson's had that kind of issue, though. Like last year, and then this year, the toss of the bat.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
Yost. I'll never get that minute back. Sleepy Ned Yost. He doesn't know. But I want to give both perspectives, but I don't want to hear from Ned Yost. Ned Yost is actually managing the Sox right now. Anyway, so I'm just disappointed that baseball has not been able to evolve to where somebody hits a home run, other team gets mad, you drill the guy. Tim was not happy with it, obviously. He didn't want to get drilled, but he did. It's part of the game. All benches empty, all bullpens empty, and all of a sudden, now everybody wants to get after everybody, and Joe West's verdict is to throw out Tim Anderson. And Renteria, that's one thing, because he was out of control, fine. But you do it to why? Why throw out Tim Anderson in that spot? It's because Joe West is this tenured professor that's been in baseball for way too long and needs to be let go. It's enough. I don't know if he's staying off for pension or whatever, but that's enough. I don't tune in to baseball games to see Joe West ump. If I did, I would be thoroughly disappointed.
The Chicago White Sox. How about that?
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. You know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.
We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Jeff Dickerson, Kendall Gill, Jim Brandstetter's show, produced by Felix and Sean on the other side of the glass. On tomorrow, 7 to 10, NFL draft preview tomorrow between 8 and 10 of our three-hour extravaganza right here on UTH. Talk to you tomorrow at 7.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.